One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness, and the Chicago Firefighters Local 2. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. I just got back from Ireland, 2 weeks in Ireland. I missed all of you. I'm sure you missed me too. But I got a great guest tonight. Just coming out of the middle of a bit of a storm, the one and only FOP Lodge 7 President John Kenton Zara Jr. Is your dad still with us?
No.
Oh, okay.
So does that still make me a junior? I don't know. That's always been the debate.
No, that's good. You honor him that way. So anyway, welcome back to the show, John. Great to have you.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, you've been through, what'd you say, 19 days? The storm. You know what? It's all this goofy COVID crap, first of all. It just drives me nuts. So they wanted all the cops to be vaccinated or they were going to get fired. Take us through the whole story.
Well, our little dictator on the fifth floor decided that...
Groot? Is that what they call her? Groot?
Groot.
Groot, yeah. Beatles. Oh, we got a crowd here. Say hi. Give them a shout. All right, yeah.
For everybody listening at home, that's the crowd, which primarily is a small sampling of the officers I couldn't be more proud of, who really kind of helped make everything happen Monday by taking a stand and defending their collective bargaining rights and saying, not today.
Good for you.
So thank
you. Good man. Yeah. All right. So there was an edict, basically, that, you know, put out by the city, by, you know, the mayor, the pygmy.
True. I think it would probably even be strongly worded more than an edict. You know, 1939, and I know people hate this reference. I'm not even going to use the Holocaust reference, but yeah. This is Nazi Germany crap. What's
going
on?
It's fascism.
It's literally signed the papers. It's strange times to say the least, but in some bizarre alter universe, she thought this was the right path forward to tell everybody you're getting this vaccine or else.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And regrettably, a lot of the unions, I shouldn't say a lot, just about all of them, went and hit it a corner. Said we can't win this fight.
Yeah, but not you.
Well, this isn't just me. I know I've kind of inherited the mantle of the voice and face of this lodge.
Yeah.
But the reality is, even prior to the deadline on the 15th, roughly 70% of our department had complied with the portal. Okay, you can make that seem any way you want.
The portal being you had to sign this
comply,
thing,
whether
give
you're
all
vaccinated,
your health
whether you're vaccinated or not, etc. Yeah. But I focus on the 30% that didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And rightly so. There's concerns, there's protections in place. So my hat was always kind of tipped to the 3,000 plus officers who said, this is wrong.
Good for them.
And it's not going to just go by like everything else without a challenge.
Yeah.
I can pitch the loudest argument in the world, but this argument specifically is not John Catanzara's fight and some kind of puppet master telling everybody what to do. Mm-hmm. All I'm doing is voicing the concerns and frustrations of every one of the officers here and the other 3,000 that did not fill out that portal on October 15th because they thought it was wrong. And I know the mayor tries to spin this as I'm leading everybody astray off a cliff, everything under the sun.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just their biggest cheerleader, and I will continue to be.
Well, yeah. That's good. But it's also, this is crazy stuff.
It's unnecessary, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is the city, they keep talking about all this nonsense under the sun. Four officers died from COVID. Yes, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But we haven't had one luckily die in over a year, almost a year now.
Yeah.
Titus Moore was just about a year ago. So whatever we're doing to readjust into our new reality, whether it's staying a little farther apart, you know, making sure you wash your hands a little more frequently, whatever it is, it seems to be working. Because thankfully, we have not had officers. They couldn't even provide the number of officers who are off on the medical because of COVID.
Yeah.
On two separate occasions, we asked for those numbers. They couldn't even provide them. Well, so where was the urgency?
They call everything COVID now.
Correct.
Yeah, but I mean,
they couldn't even prove an urgency. Yeah. There was no need for it other than it literally is just about control. You are going to do what I want you to
That's
do.
That's what it's all about.
And heaven forbid, we said no.
And, you know, I got vaccinated. And as I thought, well, I thought I'll get vaccinated. I won't have to wear the mask anymore. And that's all BS. It didn't make any difference at all. It's like, what's the point?
And, you know, the 3,000 that said no, great. But to the 7,000 that complied in the portal, I know a lot of them thought this isn't my fight. 80% of them apparently are vaccinated out of that 70%. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
This might not be your fight technically, but it is our fight.
Yeah.
Because your union protections, this caveat doesn't affect you. But if she gets away with this, then she
What's
gets
next?
Emboldened to do the next one. And the next one might affect you. And then you're going to be like, where's my union?
Yeah.
Well, you helped weaken your union. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what a lot of them did without even realizing it. You know, I just hope they kind of have a little buyer's remorse, so to speak, and realize that they probably should have held their powder, as we like to say, and have a stronger voice. But here we are.
And then they tried to silence you. You know, was it a gag order? How can you get away with that?
Good question.
That's Nazi Germany stuff.
Agree. I've gotten calls, emails from all over the country. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
How do they shut up the leader of a union?
Yeah.
Even union, I like, this is unprecedented.
And how do they get away with it? Yeah. But they did.
Well,
thank God.
I mean, I have a police board case in 11 days. They're trying to, again, this has never been done either, where they tried to fire. It doesn't matter if I get fired or not.
Yeah.
I just retire. I'm still the president. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But this is new territory even there. They're literally making it up as they go along.
Yeah.
And they just don't get it. I'm not going anywhere. Matter of fact, the next place I might go is to tell her to get the hell out of my office at the fifth floor of City Hall in March of 23.
Yeah. The only problem is we got to wait till then.
That is the problem. And God only knows what we have left at that point.
Look at the damage she could do in the next 2 years. My God,
and
it's insane.
Scorched earth.
Yeah.
Because she just has that personality about her.
Yeah. Now, who are your lawyers? Who are the lawyers for the FOP? They got to be pretty good. I would imagine you have a lot of faith in them. And
well, I mean, our lead labor attorney is Joel DiAlba. Joel's been around doing labor law forever.
Okay.
I mean, you have conversations with Joel, you got a problem. Joel will cite a case from 1984 and some obscure little. I mean, he's just literally a walking encyclopedia when it comes to labor law.
Good.
And knowing the kind of temperature of the room, countrywide even, on what court cases were successful, which weren't many, we had to really narrow down where we were going with it to the courts.
Yeah.
And specifically, it had to be about our collective bargaining rights. There was a very clear intention of leaving everything out related to the vaccines, the ineffectiveness of it, whatever the case may be, natural immunity. All of those conversations always had to be secondary.
Yeah.
And I knew if we stuck to the collective bargaining issue and the city's refusal to negotiate, we would be successful. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. And we were proven right. And Joel definitely put forward that fight. But the mayor repeatedly in her press conferences, she says, I'm 0 for 8. I don't know how she became a lawyer because she clearly can't count. The judge denied her continuation of the gag order. That's one.
Yeah.
We just won again.
That just happened, right?
Her December 31st deadline is getting pushed back whether she likes it or not.
Yeah.
That's at least two. I'm 3-0 with the police board. Yeah. So she could say what she wants about John Catanzaro, but I don't quit. I will keep fighting till I have a breath in my body. I used to do it for just me, but now I get to do it for all of them.
You know, and didn't you you just got the contract through after all those 4 years?
That was another win.
Yeah.
But that only happened because apparently people started screaming about the retro check, which couldn't be farther from the truth. Yeah. The city had no intention on giving us a contract. And even, I guarantee you, if you took a poll in this room, there'd be officers. Who thought we would ever negotiate a contract with this mayor? Uh-huh. Who thought it was impossible? Uh-huh. I could tell you from day one, it's all we heard. There's no way. Just go to arbitration. You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
But we got it done.
Yeah.
But specifically,
and that was just, what, a couple of months ago,
correct,
right? Yeah.
And retro checks will be December 30th for everybody. That's the hard date, just so you know.
You know, we had Paul Vallis on the show over the summer in the midst of all that. He helped negotiate that, right?
Yes, Paul was instrumental in having conversations that me or Joel couldn't have necessarily directly. Just to kind of, you know, there was a really interesting moment in the last day that we had negotiations where Paul got mad at actually us.
Oh, yeah.
Because I basically said, F this, you're wasting my time, we're done.
Yeah.
Arbitration it is. And Paul got mad and was like, literally, are we really going to do this over? Yes, we really are going to do it over this issue.
Yeah.
He goes, well, then you guys figure it out. And he got up to leave.
Yeah.
I'm done. But 15 minutes later,
he came around.
We sat back. Well, I think he realized that we drove him there.
Yeah. You know, we had him on the show.
That was kind of the joke, that he walked out and then he realized he actually drove with
my
us.
Ride. So, that's my ride. Yeah.
So, you know, we had a conversation, came back, and within an hour later, we had it hammered out. We had an agreement, and on to a ratification, it went from there. But again, Paul, it wouldn't have got done without Paul Vallis. It just wouldn't have.
Well, I'll tell you, he was on our show. He's a wonk.
Man. He is.
And half the time, I had no idea what the hell he was talking about, but I thought, this guy knows his stuff. I
right. Mean, but, you know, the same, and that's kind of the same with Joel. Yeah. You know, they know the T's crossed, I's dotted kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I come at it more of a street brawler, off the cuff. This is just the way it is. In the middle is the perfect place to be.
Yeah.
Too much of that, you get lost. Too much of that, no one listens to you. Yeah. So the kind of me reeling them in and them reeling me in got us to where we needed to be.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah.
But specific to this
issue,
policy.
That you're talking about the vaccination.
Correct.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, the mayor and the city's team keeps touting the fact that this policy was rolled out August 8th. August 8th. And that we didn't do anything with that policy, sorry, for almost a month. Well, August 8th, if anybody remembers, was not even 12 hours after Ella French was murdered.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nobody pays attention to that. No, yeah. As if nobody was distracted with anything but her goofy policy on this COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, that took the wind out of this department and even the union for that matter of making sure our sister was sent off right because we had a superintendent who couldn't say her name right, we had a mayor who couldn't say her name right, and we had a first deputy who couldn't even supply a bagpipe for the ambulance.
Is that the guy who made
the
crack about the
bagpipes? Yeah, Mr.
Meadows.
Yeah. Piece
was,
of garbage.
That was terrible.
Piece of garbage.
And they got him on tape saying it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get it in.
Yeah.
It. Like she's an it.
Yeah. That's terrible.
It was disgusting. So that took a couple of weeks out of the whole equation right then and there.
Yeah.
You fast forward, information requests never got, you know, adhered to. But they knew from the get-go that this was not just the FOP. This was a different fight.
Yeah.
We consolidated our efforts with the sergeants, the lieutenants, and the captains under the PBPA umbrella, and we agreed that this was a fight very similar to the arbitration we took on the day off group to cancellations, and it was going to be all for one and one for all, because the city notoriously tries to divide and conquer and figure if they can get the smaller ones, then we get stuck. Well, that wasn't the case for the second time this year, and it's been lockstep from day one with the supervisors, and I think the city didn't know what to do with that. So prior, October 8th was the last conversation we had with the city. They walked away from that table. We didn't hear from them again, even though we told them this is eventually going to arbitration.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? And they just disappeared, and that was it. It was take it or leave it, and that's our final offer. And for the slap in the face, I mean, most people know the story. Some don't. They offered everybody in the city workforce an extra personal day if they got vaccinated, except sworn law enforcement officers.
Really?
Every other city worker except us.
Yeah.
Because we were the only ones fighting them.
Yeah.
So as their last best final offer, they included the personal day. Here's our last best final. What's different about this one?
Yeah.
Well, you're getting the personal day. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know where you can stick it.
Yeah.
But
aren't they having the same problem in New York right now?
They are.
De Blasio.
They are.
He's also nuts.
You know, Seattle had the same problem. Seattle fired 10% of it, about 11% of its workforce in a blink of an eye because they weren't vaccinated.
Here's the thing. They were going to wipe out 50% of the Chicago police force, and they're in the midst of probably just murders are through the roof. The city is a violent nut.
Third time in this century, since 2000, it's the third time there's been over 700 murders.
Yeah.
And we're ahead of last year's 700 murder pace
and because
by about 8 days.
For some political posturing, they're going to jeopardize that whole thing. It's
correct.
Crazy.
Well, again, it's all about comply. How dare you challenge me?
Yeah.
And shame on every single alderman. Well, not every single alderman. I shouldn't say that. Some of them understood what was going on.
Yeah.
But the cowards who claim to be leaders,
yeah,
who did not want to take power back from the mayor. The same ones who complain when Richie Daley bulldozed Migs Field without their approval.
Yeah.
The same ones who complained about Rahm getting rid of retiree health care without even consulting anybody, just with a stroke of a pen got rid of it. The same one who complained about this little tyrant telling them that she's going to take away their aldermanic prerogative. And they screamed and yelled, how dare you? But yet they literally have ceded control and used the excuse that, oh, my God, we can't get involved in every contract dispute. This wasn't about every contract dispute. This was simply about a mayor putting forth a policy that takes paychecks out of city employees' pockets with no repercussions or no review by the people who are supposed to create the laws, period. All I could say is if their policy is the executive branch has that much authority, I certainly hope they remember that in 23 when there's a new mayor.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to wait to 23.
Well, unfortunately, that's another problem.
I want her out now.
There's no way to do that right now, and that's been by design by every crooked mayor and every crooked city council that has ever served in this city.
Yeah.
They have designed it so there is no recall provision. I can guarantee you that is going to be one of our biggest pushes going forward for that next mayor to absolutely about term limits and about a provision to be able to recall the mayor. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a bad cartoon. You got this little, a woman wearing men's clothes all the time. It's just like bizarre, this character. And yet, you're right, there are aldermen that are fearful of her. And it's like, come on.
They might be afraid of the return of Coronavirus Man or whatever that costume was last year.
Okay.
Clorox Man, whatever she was last year. I don't even
know. Oh, yeah, she had
some
kind of
a goofy costume.
Yeah. Well, she's nuts and scares me, quite frankly. Just nuts. And her husband. Don't get me started on that guy. Okay. All right, we won't go there. Sorry. Now, which is interesting, what just happened, though, last night, the Virginia gubernatorial election, McAuliffe got beat. Big, big, big step forward for right-thinking individuals in this country, I think. And perhaps maybe even in New Jersey, that may go our way. Do you see any, you think the pendulum's going to swing?
You can go a couple steps even further than that.
Yeah.
Minnesota clearly shot down the getting rid of the police department for a public safety department, number one. But you go back to Virginia, Lunkin won governor's race, that's great. Mm-hmm. The better story to me is his lieutenant governor.
Yes.
The Marine.
Yeah.
African-American female.
Yeah.
Who literally, proudly stands there taking a picture with an AR-15 in her hand. Proud gun supporter, defender of this country, who has literally put on the uniform and said, I will die for this country. How do you shoot her down? You can silence Candace Owens all you want and say,
Owens. Yeah.
Again, but they've always, how are you going to bash her now? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
She's actually put on the uniform for this country.
Yeah. God bless her.
And that's a phenomenal story. Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. And it's, the country is so divided, it's crazy. But
the pendulum's swinging.
I hope so, man.
And, well, we can't wait for gravity to take effect. It has to be pushed back past where it started.
Well, what about a recall? Is there a provision to do a mayoral recall?
No, that's what I'm saying. There is no provision right now, and they've made sure that there is no provision.
Oh, wow.
Listen, the aldermen are cowards, most of them.
Yeah.
They are totally afraid to take a stand as long as they get their little cut of the money so they can pass it on to their friends because it never goes on to their neighborhoods.
No.
You know, the most violent neighborhoods are the same ones who keep voting these people in because they host a senior function or a barbecue or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Throw a couple goodies at somebody and they get enough people to vote them back in. But they never do anything of substance for their neighborhoods. Never.
The other thing is...
That's by design because then the mayor can take the heat. They could literally say, well, it's the mayor's fault. It's not mine.
Yeah. But also, the media is really bad. I mean, the media is so, well, they're terrible.
Well, look what happens to the media. The only guy that really, the only member of the news media, I don't even say just a guy, but the only person from the news media that actually pushes back is from Newsmax. And what does she do? She chastises the guy and tries to humiliate him and talk down to him every chance he gets.
Are you talking about William Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, he's an idiot. I'm sorry.
Well, I
know him very well.
But he makes some valid points.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That she literally
he's
shoots
on the
down.
Right side of the issues.
Well,
it's just,
maybe
you know,
a little, but again,
kind
it's
kind of a cartoon character. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he asks questions other ones don't do follow-up questions on. There's a lot of people in the media that I have very good relationships with that I could have very open conversations with. There's other ones I will never talk to again.
I don't blame you.
Franz Biehlmann. But, but that being said, they don't push back. There is no follow-up when the mayor outright lies about something and literally lies.
Well, you know, I grew up in this city, and the media wasn't always like this. I mean, you had
Mike Royko
and people like that. You got John Cass, people like that. But now they've been exterminated, you know, and if you get out of line, they get
from
rid
the top
of
down.
Yeah.
It's their terrible. Bosses have basically fell in line.
Tribune is a commie rag. The Sun. I used to work at the Sun-Times, and they hated me. Just like they hate you, my friend. Usually it's big fat chicks that hate me, though. I don't know why, but they do. Anyway, I had to deal with that at the Sun-Times all the time. They're so liberal. Now, I saw, before we met, I was looking up background on this stuff, and you had a headline. I'm going to call BS on you, Madam Mayor, or something like that. That was the headline in the Sun-Times. But the Sun-Times has a paywall up, and I refused to give them any money, so I couldn't read the whole story. What's behind that? Did you call her out? What happened?
I can't even keep track of how many times. I don't remember the specific incident.
Just a couple of days ago, you know, and the headline in the Sun-Times said, I'm calling you BS on this, Madam Mayor, or whatever the hell.
That would have had to have been during the city council meeting. I mean, 3/4 of the crap that comes out of her mouth is BS. So it's kind of, literally, and she doesn't never, she never gets challenged on it. She just doesn't.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's frustrating to some degree. But all I know is the FOP is not 0-8.
Now, when you started, I remember you were the guy who would go to the city council meetings. You'd have like a football jersey on and wait to get your moment. And then you'd get up there, and I'd see the alderman go, oh, no, not this guy.
Some of them would actually be, hey, this is going to get entertaining now. Let's watch this one.
Yeah. When did you start doing that?
Why?
When?
So the FOP.
You were a police officer.
Correct.
Then,
FOP had a protest at City Hall. I forgot what over the case was when Rahm was mayor. And when I arrived at City Hall, I had seen three of the former people who were in charge of the FOP in line, and
they lined to speak.
I didn't know you could go to the public. I used to go to the police board public speaking all the time for 10 years plus.
Yeah.
Whenever I had a chance, I would go to the police board hearings and speak there. I didn't know you could do it at City Hall until that morning. Yeah. When I found that out, the world was different.
You were a regular all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me another microphone? Okay, good.
Yeah.
And they can't, again, if I don't swear, they can't shut me up. Perfect.
Yeah.
Again, at that point, I had 20 years on the job.
Yeah.
I don't care. I could go back to driving a truck tomorrow. I always said that. They were never going to shut me up. They were never going to break me.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to work 60 hours a day. They won't even work 6 hours a day.
No.
Or 60 hours a week, I should say. 60 hours a week. It seems like 60 hours a day sometimes.
So where are we now?
So where we're at now is this. We have just over 40 officers in a no-paid status. I know public sentiment, and many of them are here, correct.
God bless you guys. So,
and to their families who allowed them to make that decision because it doesn't just affect one person. You literally have to have the support of your family. So that's a big factor that's seldom forgot or seldom remembered. But so those 40-plus officers will be returning to work.
Good.
Yeah. At our encouragement, because this was never about not going to work and doing your job. This was always about protecting your rights and having our day at the arbitration table, which we felt we were entitled to from day one. Judge Mitchell, thankfully.
That was the judge that...
Correct. Yeah. Had enough foresight to issue a very commonsensical ruling. So now that we know we're going to get our day at the arbitration table, I've advised them all to go back to work and let's worry about what happens in arbitration.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of that is they're disobeying the direct order. And this was a big component. You're under no obligation by department directives to obey an unlawful order. Yes. Now, I know this department thinks that it's a lawful order.
Yeah.
But the judge has already said that there is a contractual issue attached to this whole case. Labor law is a law.
Yeah.
If a member, an exempt rank member is telling you to violate your own collective bargaining agreement in labor law, they're basically giving you an unlawful order. That's been our position from day one. I know they don't believe it, but it's been extremely disheartening because there's several members of the exempt rank staff that I had some pretty high regard for. But to think that not one of them, not a single one, has been willing to stand up and say, I'm not doing your dirty work, demote me to captain or lieutenant, or retire and walk away, and saying, I'm standing for what's right. I'm not going to worry about my paycheck and my pension. They didn't do it, not one of them. And shame on every single one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know how any of their reputations are ever the same after this episode. There'll be some people who still respect them, and again, their position I respect, but their reputations are definitely going to take a hit. Every single one of them, commander and above. Nobody has had the guts to stand up and do the right thing.
You know, one of the things you said the other day, and the mayor is always crying, racism, racism, racism. And you mentioned that many of the officers doing on your side are black officers, right?
I just had a few of them today. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just this.
They're not buying into that whole.
But it's all that they never were buying into it. Yeah. That's all PR from the mayor's office to try and divide and conquer. You know, the weird caveat, and I'm certainly not trying to encourage certain officers to be singled out. But it occurred to us, and me specifically, and I'll take the heat for it because it was me who mentioned it first, yesterday, the number of officers that have gone through the process, and I don't know, like I said, it started at 70% compliance, 30% not. So if you use that number, you have about 3,400 officers who were not in compliance originally with the portal on October 15th. So I don't know what the demographics are of those 3,400, but according to who they've been calling down to take an order and to get counseled at headquarters, it apparently is not the African-American officers because we've counted maybe 10 officers that are African-American that have been put through this process. Everybody else has been white or Hispanic. Seems very suspicious, to say the least. If that's random, I hope so. But we're certainly going to get to the bottom of that list and see how it was produced and who was called first, because everybody knows our first deputy is one of the biggest racists there is in this job and in this city.
Every What's his decision, name? Eric Carter?
Yeah, okay. I don't even like to give him credit of even saying
that his
name.
Is that the guy who said...
Yes, Mr. Meadows, yes.
Yeah, okay.
He is a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
He is the worst
but
form
David
of a leader.
But David Brown is a figurehead anyway.
He's a figurehead.
Yeah, he's kind of a mope too. I mean,
he's collecting a check. He's stealing money.
Yeah, yeah.
He's basically stealing money at this point.
Yeah.
He's not doing a damn thing to stop this. He's letting Carter run the department.
Is Carter the guy who had all the fake medals on his shirt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ones that he possibly could not have earned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's several things
like
that...
Who irons his shirt? Come on.
Again, that's supposed to be for dress uniforms. Think of the ego you have to have about yourself to pin that on your daily uniform every day.
Yeah.
How proud you must be of yourself. I mean, it's pathetic, but he is a very notorious racist. You know, Eddie Johnson, before he got fired for his malfeasance, used to have a saying, it's our turn now. As if they were so mad at the Irish for running this department forever. Mm-hmm. Now that they were in control, they were going to take care of their own. Which, okay, whatever. You can have that argument all day long.
Yeah.
But Carter has taken it to a new level. There was a reason we did not get a promotional list on the sergeants or the lieutenants until we literally, all three of us, screamed and yelled, our members deserve promotions. Don't wait for the new list. And the reason they waited for as long as they could is because they didn't like who was next in line on the list that are available.
Yeah.
It didn't meet their demographics.
Yeah.
It didn't meet their demographics.
Yeah, sure.
That's just a simple reality, and that's Carter's decision.
Yeah.
There's not one single person who is a bigger racist than Eric Carter. He bases everything he does on race.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And does he have any negotiating power in this whole situation, or he's just a mouthpiece, or what's the deal with him?
Well, he does whatever the mayor tells him. He's a puppet for the mayor.
Okay.
He's a yes man.
Yeah. He's the first assistant. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to figure out who all the players are. I know that they're the bad guys.
Again, there's other chiefs involved in this equation, but the department is literally ran by Eric Carter, and Brown just collects a check.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just the way it sadly is being ran.
And the media is right behind them going, it's crazy every day. And
Well, the decrease in the increase of the decrease of the crime is, they buy that hook, line, and sinker every single time. It's kind of absurd.
You mean the stats that they come up with?
Correct.
Yeah, that's baloney. Yeah.
So, you brought up Paul Vallis. And Paul brought up a pretty funny point today when I talked to him. He was talking about now they're going to give the jab to 5 to 12-year-olds.
I know. Yeah.
So the funny part was Paul says, hey, you know how many 5 to 12-year-olds have died of COVID in Chicago? Spoiler alert, zero.
Yeah.
You know how many 5 to 12-year-olds have died of gun violence in Chicago this year alone?
Yeah.
And nobody, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
What they try and pretend is really important to distract from their absolute failures from the top on down. How David Brown still has a job is beyond me, other than the fact that the person that she hates probably most in the world keeps calling now for him to be fired. And I personally like David Brown.
Yeah.
Professionally, he has been a failure.
Yeah.
And he has literally ceded control to Carter. He needs to go. But just the fact that I say that means he has job security. So he should send me a thank you card at Christmas time this year. Because he guarantees
if
she'll
you
never
hate him, she's
as long
have,
as I keep saying
him.
He should be fired, he's gonna keep having a job.
Yeah. Okay. Now do you ever have any personal interaction with her at all?
No. I mean, May 29th, that was it last year.
What happened on May 29th? You at an event or something?
No. We had a meeting in her office.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully it might be my office one day. But she showed a different side of her that I was stunned. Yeah. I mean, very vulgar, everybody knows that.
Oh, I've heard that, yeah.
But just the fact that she did not want us to be there.
Yeah.
She literally said, he is not coming in my office. And I said, well, we're coming there anyway. And there's going to be a press conference. If you don't let me in, it's going to be an ugly one. You let me in, I guess we'll see what kind of conversation we have. But you're not going to keep dismissing me. You have to deal with me, whether you like me or not. I was elected to represent these members.
Right.
She finally relented. But the point being, I thought we had a semi-productive conversation. She kind of showed me a side of her that I was stunned that she actually did.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally pounding on the table, talking about Jesse Sharkey and swearing about him and he's never allowed in this office again and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, at least she's being normal and she's being herself, so to speak, and letting her guard down. Didn't last long. But she also told me, my city's not going to burn. They're not burning my police
station.
They
already did burn it.
They did it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
That's when the riots started in Chicago, that Friday night. Slowly, then Saturday, then Sunday. And the joke was, little did she know that morning that the highlight of her weekend was going to be having a conversation with John Catanzaro because it went to hell from there.
Yeah.
It literally went to hell from there.
All right, so are you serious about running for mayor?
Am I serious? It becomes more serious every day.
Yeah.
It's never something I ever envisioned. It really isn't. I don't have time to do this job sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
I put my life on hold to do this job.
Yeah.
It would take it to a next level for that job.
Yeah.
But something's got to change.
Well, when you had a video you did the other day and you held up that sign, okay? Now, I couldn't figure out if you were announcing for mayor or was that because that's one way to get by that gag order, you know, to say I'm a mayoral candidate and you got to let me speak.
Listen, if I make that decision.
Call me first. I need a job.
Meet me at Wrightwood and Kimball.
Yeah, Wrightwood. What's a Wrightwood and Kimball?
What's a Wrightwood and Kimball?
I don't know. There's a detailer? Okay.
There's a big detail there.
Oh, okay. Wait. What's right way to Kimball? Is that where what's her name lives? Ah, okay.
Yeah. Again, but I don't want to. Again, this fight was never about any of that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't. This still isn't something I really want to pursue.
The whole thing is a power grab.
Mike, I just believe in right and wrong and balls and strikes. Life could be very simple. People complicate the hell out of it.
They do.
And they don't need to.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so lost in the weeds here. I just don't know where common sense comes from because there's some aldermen I would hope would step up. and take the chance. I know some of them have concerns about their future if they do. I get all of that.
Well, most politicians are complete cowards.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
So the point being, do I want to do it? I absolutely don't. Will I do it? If no one else steps up very soon, it's going to become a reality. And if for no other reason than the men and women of Chicago Police Department deserve somebody who backs them unequivocally be every day. And that's the only way we change this city. And the only way you change a city is by controlling the violence so you can then have a downtown that actually flourishes, produces tax revenue that will bail us out of this nightmare financial crisis that we're looming every day. I mean, the occupancy rate in downtown Chicago for commercial real estate is in the tank.
It's a ghost town.
And it is literally, you can't keep taxing people to cover budget falls. Sleepy Joe in Washington, D.C. is not going to keep bailing out Chicago and every other big city because their windfalls are short. The piggy bank is going to break at some point.
Yeah.
You better have a better plan than that. And the only plan is stop letting the criminals run the damn city.
That was good. Now, John Cass is telling me that Arne Duncan, the White Shadow, is the guy they're prepping to be the next mayor or whatever.
So I hear.
But even there, you know, even the powers that be want to get her out somehow. But I encourage you to go for it. You know, you're going to need a lot of money, though. But the other thing is,
I think that was the other reason why Judge Horan never even questioned about throwing me in jail. Because if I'd have got arrested for one day for violating a gag order, I would have had a campaign fund from all over the United States.
Good.
Immediately overnight. Yeah. That would have just been a simple reality.
Judge Mitchell was the one who came through lifting the thing.
Correct.
But in Chicago.
No. What? Judge Horan heard the gag order and failed to re-up it for another 10 days.
Oh, okay.
She terminated.
Right.
We actually have a formal hearing in front of her next week, too, on Monday, which should end that whole even process.
Let's hope so, because this is Chicago. You never know who you get. The judges are bought and sold here like crazy, so you never know what's going to happen.
I can't go that far, but I will just say the premise of the city's argument specific to the gag order was BS from the beginning.
Yeah.
They literally said, your actions are causing a public safety concern. But in the same breath, the mayor would say, there is no problem with, don't worry about public safety. If half the officers leave, we have another plan. So which is it?
What is
it? Do you have another plan?
Yeah.
Or is it a public safety issue if John's telling everybody to disobey the direct order and don't and end up not going to work?
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. But they did have it both ways in Judge Horan's court for at least 10 days. That was the simplest dynamic of where it was BS from the get-go.
Yeah. All right. Well, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Mike.
I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing.
All right, if you insist.
Yes. Come back. Keep coming back and telling us how you're doing. But keep fighting the good fight, will you?
To everybody in this room, hold the line.
Hold the line.
Literally, hold the line.
Right. God bless you, John Kenton Zara Jr.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey everybody, this is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue,
Only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
And we are back. What a great night here at Hibernian Radio. We're at Cork and Kerry. We're with John Kentanzara Jr. and a whole bunch of the police officers. But I want to remind everybody, the Emerald Society is having their turkey dinner night, full turkey dinner catered by Calabria, this Monday night at FOP Lodge, 714 12 West Washington Boulevard, starting at 7 p.m. Jimmy Clunan and friends, only $20 at the door. You get the turkey dinner, and all tip monies from the bar will be donated to Officer Carlos Yenes' family. Did you hear that, John? Hey, John. Tomorrow, Monday night, the Emerald Society is having their turkey dinner. They are donating all proceeds to police officer Carlos Yenes' family, who was with Ella when she got shot. The Emerald Society will match up to $500 for the donation. I'll be a celebrity bartender. That's worth $20 right there. So please come on. It's at FOP Monday night. Monday night, November 8th. Come on by. We'd love to have you. All right. So I want to remind everybody about that. Come on out. I'll be there. My sons will be there, and all the characters from the Emerald Society will be there. Monday night, November 8th, the turkey dinner night, full turkey dinner. It's awesome. Catered by Calabria and Guinness. Music by Jimmy Clunan and friends, our old pal Jimmy. $20 at the door, located at FOP Lodge 71412 West Washington Boulevard. Starting time is 7 p.m. All tip monies from the bar will be donated to police officer Carlos Yanez's family. The Emerald Society will match up to $500 for the donation. I'll be a celebrity bartender. It'll be fun, and it'll be for a good cause. And God bless him and his family. Okay. Now, Billy. You know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or any of those great saloons, even the Cork and Kerry, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Ole, who died?" Okay, Mike Nix's mom died. An old friend of mine, Mike Nix from Beverly. Mike ran the Beverly Arts Center for years. His mom, Colleen Nix, devoted wife of James, retired CFD for over 70 years. A loving mother of Deborah, the late Timothy, Michael, and Kathleen. She was past president of the VFW National Ladies Auxiliary and the Naomi Clown Association. Wake is Friday at Curley Funeral Home, and the funeral is at Christ the King Parish, my old parish. God rest her soul, Colleen Nix, Mike's mom. Okay, Mary Collette O'Sullivan passed peacefully and went to be with the Lord on October 22nd after a prolonged decline. She's a beloved daughter of the late Elizabeth Marie and the late Patrick O'Sullivan, sister of the late Reverend John P. O'Sullivan. She is survived by many nieces, nephews, and cousins in County Cork, Ireland. Mary was a longtime resident of Chicago South Loop and a graduate of St. Xavier College. God rest her soul, Mary Collette O'Sullivan. Marilyn E. Wright, Nee Horan, 89, of Glenview. Marilyn was born on the north side of Chicago to Irish immigrant parents, later to move to St. Michael's Parish in Lincoln Park. After graduation from Immaculata High School, she spent most of her adult life in Andersonville. She was a valuable employee at the CTA. God rest her lovely soul, Marilyn E. Wright, 89. Michael J. Hennessy, age 86, native of County Limerick, Ireland. Beloved husband for 55 years of Linda. Cherished father of Patrick, Mike, Colleen, and the late Anne Marie. Mike was loved by all who knew him. God rest his lovely soul, Michael J. Hennessy. Helen Nellie Craig, Nee Leiden, a native of County Mayo, Ireland. I was just there for a week in County Mayo. God help us. Helen was the beloved wife of the late Robert and the loving mother of Sheila, Robert, and David. God rest her soul, Helen Nellie Craig. Also, Peter F. Hughes. Peter F. Hughes, age 75, native. What are you doing there? Okay. Native of Couro, County Mayo, Ireland. Beloved husband of Noreen, loving father of Maura. Retired member of the Illinois International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. With many dedicated years of service to the P&T and the AT&T. He was a member of St. Christina Holy Name Society. Past officer of the Chicago Mayo Association and St. Brendan's Football Club. A lifelong supporter of the Mayo GAA and the Chicago Cubs. God rest his soul, Peter F. Hughes. Michelle T. Byrne, a beloved mother of Johnny, Gavin, Patty, and Bridget Byrne. She was a revered Chicago public school teacher and pillar of the Humboldt Park community. God rest her lovely soul, Michelle T. Byrne. John King, age 86, of Barrington. Born and raised in County Clare, Ireland. John was a sixth of 10 children born to loving parents, Michael and Margaret. He started working at a young age. That's a line. He was born at a young age. He started working at a young age, helping on the family farm, and immigrated to Chicago in 1954. There he learned carpentry trade from his brother, building garages through the south and west suburbs. John went on to start his own building business, developing subdivisions primarily in Berkeley, Woodstock, and Ingleside. A great storyteller, he loved to make people laugh, and his own laugh was sometimes better than the punchline. John survived by his loving and devoted wife of 63 years, Ellen, his loving children, Therese, Mary Ellen, Geraldine, Sheila, Eileen, Margaret, Kathleen, Michael, and Joan. God rest his soul, John King. And finally, you know, I was out of town for over a week, and I get the obits from my old pal PJ O'Day every week, and PJ had 8 of them this week. The last one floored me because my old pal William Chip O'Brien. Chip was born in 1938. He was in his 80s. He passed away October 7th. I didn't know this. Even though a failing heart took him away from this world, he never lost his zest for life and knack for entertaining and storytelling. His charismatic personality, and I will vouch for that, allowed him to make friends with everyone, everywhere he went. His willingness to help anybody in need, me included, and his sense of humor was legendary. Chip served in the United States Marine Corps. He was an incredible man, a trusted life and financial advisor for over 6 decades. He was one of a kind. He loved life, family, his lifelong friends, a fine bottle of wine, and football. He is survived by his wife of 56 years, Joanne. Joanne works at Old St. Pat's Church. His brother, Edmund. His sister-in-law, Geraldine, father of Tim, Tamra, Tina, a good pal, God rest his soul, Chip O'Brien. And let's close up the crypt, Billy, and come back and see what's going on. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yaki Dot.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? Teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes oh. and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown. Hey, I got two jokes. Two semi-dangerous jokes. A man sat at a local bar and said to the woman next to him, "This is a special day. I'm celebrating." "What a coincidence," said the woman next to him. "I'm celebrating, too," she replied, clinking glasses with him. What are you celebrating?" "I'm a chicken farmer, and for years all my hens were infertile. But today they're finally fertile." "What a coincidence," the woman said, "for my husband and I have been trying to have a child. Today my gynecologist told me I'm pregnant." "How did your chickens become fertile?" she asked. "I switched cocks," he replied. "What a coincidence," she replied. All right, one more. Two young lovers go up to the mountains for a romantic winter vacation. When they get there, the guy goes out to chop some wood. It's winter. They're in Aspen or someplace. When he gets back, he says, "Honey, my hands are freezing." She says, "Well, put them here between my thighs, and that will warm them up." After lunch, he goes back out to chop some more wood and comes back and says, "Man, my hands are really freezing." She says again, "Well, put them here between my thighs and warm them up." He does, and again, that warms them up. After dinner, he goes out one more time to chop some wood for the long, snowy night to get through the night. When he returns, he says, "Honey, my hands are really, really freezing." She looks at him and says, "For crying out loud, don't your ears ever get cold?" Okay. What a great night. Thank you all. We'll see you next week. So I missed you all, and we will see you later. Bye.